What's up, folks? It's the Shay Anything podcast here on June 14th. They let us on the air again.
Ooh, I got to do my May expenses.
Remember.
It's getting late.
Yeah, you got to pay your credit card bills, etc. Just search Shay Anything in your podcast app. I mean, they are listening to us. You'd have to think they found us somehow. But if you do want to find us in the future,
that's the
subscribe.
Catch-22. You're right. If you've heard this pitch, then you've already found us.
But I'm still supposed to say it for some reason. Click on our logo.
Get an ad on a
subscribe.
City bus.
If you like us, leave us a review, because for some reason that's really important. Also, remember Shay Hey. I think we have one later on, SNY.TV/Shay Anything, and you can leave a voice note or voicemail or
robotic simulation.
Yeah,
of
exactly.
Voice.
Whatever you want. Questions, comments, concerns, rants, whatever you want. So a week ago, I got a lot of comments about the podcast last week because, the middle of it, we were both pretty fired up. Because
what did we talk about?
We believe that the Mets organization should go in two different ways.
Oh, yeah. Yes, right. We got into it.
Have you changed your tune
no.
at all?
No. No.
No, I'm not
no.
just... By the way.
No.
I'm making this conversation. I'm not just saying DeGrom and Syndergaard.
No.
You believe that they should keep trying.
What do you mean? Keep trying. Yeah, no matter what they're doing, they should try.
We're in the midst.
For 2018? You asking me if they should break up, like, rebuild and have a 0.0 TV rating for 5 years?
I don't want that, no.
I think that the Mets should...
And I don't want to have this full conversation again. I just want to know...
Okay, well, you asked.
I know. I'm saying, has the last week had any, effect on you?
Yeah, in many ways. I had a stomach ache. That had a major effect on me.
That's not what I'm talking about, I'm aware
the Mets' performance? No.
Yeah.
Not in some ways, sure. We react to everything we see, but I don't believe that the Mets should go into a rebuild, and I don't think anything could happen this season that would change my mind.
You know what? I quoted you in our last episode. I said, your quote on Baseball Night in New York was, if the Mets lose every game for the rest of the season, I'm not trading DeGrom or Syndergaard.
Correct.
What about, what about Isdrubal? What about Jairys Familia?
Yeah, that's different. If you decide that 2018 that ship has sailed, then you could trade guys like that for sure.
Here's an interesting point.
Frazier's, I don't know. Then you got to think about third base next year.
I saw a point on Twitter. I wish I could tell you who said it, but I don't remember. The Mets added, what was his name, Chris Beck from the White Sox yesterday?
Bruce Beck, yeah. He's very happy to be there.
Just a strong middle reliever, Bruce Beck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call him Bubba now from
there
now
you go.
On. So someone made the point that the Mets basically sold a little bit. When they sold last year, they were trying to revamp the arms.
Right.
They wanted power arms. And now they're adding the guys the White Sox don't want. Is that an issue?
Who said that? Some mad fan?
I don't. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Sure, but
it looks bad.
I don't know. Does it? It's just a waiver wire thing, which teams always do.
I don't know. I'm just trying to sense some sort of improvement. And the problem with looking at this season as okay, if you told me by the trade deadline you're going to trade Isdrubal and Jairys Familia and Todd Frazier, I'm saying okay, but that's kind of exactly, it feels like deja vu all over again from last year.
Well,
I think you didn't improve last year to this
year. I think we would be remiss too if we didn't say we're presenting it as if that is an option they'll have. Familia has a shoulder problem, Frazier has a performance problem, and Isdrubal has everything little dinged up. So let's not sit here and assume that those guys will have any value.
I cannot believe how long Isdrubal Cabrera has been limping. I think in his entire Mets tenure, he's been limping and wincing.
Are you saying that he might have appreciated when LeBron showed off his cast at the press conference?
I don't want to blame the guy because, look.
What do you think of that, by the way?
Played...
Do you think LeBron gets points for playing hurt or loses all the points for having it leaked and then showing up with his cast and saying he punched the thing himself?
I think it's a fascinating thing to examine for professional athletes because...
That's kind of A-Rod.
Here's what hockey players do, and I don't like when people are like, hockey players, they're incredibly tough. We get it. Everyone knows that. But what they do is after they lose in the playoffs and they're packing their things up and leaving, mm-hmm. then they're like, oh, by the way, yeah, I had like I have a deep bruise in my skull and I have a torn ACL in my knee. And
it's like, were you playing or not?
And yeah. They were playing and you're like, wow, I cannot believe they've been playing with that this whole time. What most other sports do is you just find out what's ailing them right away because they either can't do it or refuse to just keep playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm LeBron, I don't really care. Like, LeBron, in my mind, is so great that whether he made too much of the hand injury or not. Like,
here's my question. Are we alone among sports discussion shows
talking about
discussing
LeBron
the LeBron thing?
Yeah, I don't think there's
that
not much up? LeBron content.
Is Dribble Cabrera.
I've had a hard time finding LeBron content.
Me too. And his Dribble content is just
but
as wonderful.
In terms of his Dribble.
They were talking his Dribble on First Take this morning. And what they said was, yeah, you're right. He's limping along. There's a lot
is
wrong
with Dribble's legacy or LeBron's? Like, wait,
right.
Who's the GOAT?
Is Dribble.
I'm sorry. I don't like watching that. Like, I get that his Dribble's been your best hitter for a large portion of the season. But I don't like watching the limping to first base because it seems like a liability.
I mean, in a perfect world, you could just let him heal. I mean, look at the Yankees. They can just let people be terrible. Like Gary Sanchez, Didi Gregorius, Greg Bird. Like, you go ahead and suck, and we got it. But the Mets need his Dribble so bad, it's like, is Dribble, unless you're dead, you're playing. You know? And that's just
and
the difference between the depth of the two teams.
Gary Sanchez sits and Austin Romine just keeps getting hits, and it's just funny the way that works. So
this is a bit of a meandering beginning
for
us.
Yeah, kind of. So do you think, Andy, like, have we gotten past the point of, I keep wondering if mid to late August, I don't know how good their schedule is in August, but you know, we look back and be like, wow, you know, on June 14th or June 10th or in the last 2 weeks, we were panicking. Look at us. We thought this was over. And
you were personally panicking. You've been running around the newsroom.
Yeah.
Screaming, sweating.
I've slept here the past 3 nights.
That's right.
Well, if you want to call it sleep.
So you're asking, like, will everything be fine then? And we'll be like, why were we overreacting?
I have that, you know, people who are on podcasts or radio shows or TV shows always have that feeling in the back of their mind where they're like, if I do the full-on panic right now, am I going to look back and feel dumb?
Fortunately, no one's recording any of this.
Right, that's true. This is just for us.
This
microphone isn't plugged
in.
Well,
look, I've tried
what
to...
What is this?
Hey, you're not supposed to talk about that. These microphones are real, and they're awesome.
Yeah, they're real. Beautiful.
Listen, I've tried to be cautious with not burying the Mets. I don't think we all have to an extent. Because we've seen long seasons have twists and turns before. I'm not there yet, but I'm not going to say that it looks good. It's 2018, I mean. And obviously, there aren't too many arrows pointing in an upward direction there, other than the rotation. The rotation has been good, although the rotation's been good in losses, and Zach Wheeler's been good, and then they spot Zach Wheeler a lead in Atlanta, he coughs it up right away. It's like, can you be good when it matters once? So it's tough to get behind the Mets right now.
I know.
But I'm not ready to say that the season's over, but, I wouldn't be, with gambling now legal in New Jersey as of this morning, I wouldn't be placing any bets on the World Series appearance either.
Did you see Harp's article about Callaway?
Yeah.
That has kind of been building up over a long period of time just because we're around Harp a lot. He's around Mickey Callaway a lot.
He was one of the big defenders for a while.
Right, yeah. And Harp had, and he says this in the column, Harp had a lot of conversations with Callaway out of the press conference room where he was impressed by him. And Harp basically says in it, he was like, look,
John Harper, not Bryce Harper.
Did I say Bryce Harper?
No, I was told in my ear, remind people it's John Harper, and it's a baseball broadcast. Oh, yeah. People might say, are they talking about Bryce Harper?
Did you see Bryce Harper's column about Mickey Callaway he's writing on his personal blog for some reason?
On the Players Tribune,
but
he
so
wrote it.
I keep going back and forth on this, Andy. Like, Mickey Callaway on a day-to-day basis, like, is almost taking the blame because he's making bad decisions.
He is.
So, like, he's getting the brunt of it, at least in my brain. But then Harp makes the point in his column to say, let me back up for just a second. The biggest problem on this team is the roster. The biggest problem on this team is what he's been handed. So what do you think about that? What do you think about that combination?
Yeah, look, that's true, of course, and at the end of the day, if one is going to indict Mickey Callaway, one has to indict the judgment of hiring Mickey Callaway. So who hired
Mickey
Callaway?
Or putting the team together the way they have.
Right. So, yes. As Sandy Alderson, who is nothing if not accountable, truly is not one to dodge these things. And he said on a conference call with reporters a few days ago that it was on him. And, of course, that's true. Buck stops with the GM.
You believe that?
Yeah, of course. That's an organ. I mean, it's more complicated. People want to evaluate GMs as like, this guy's a genius, this guy's a moron, da da da. It's more complicated than that because a baseball organization, like, for example, blaming Sandy for the draft. That is only a Sandy problem in the sense that this horrible podcast you're doing is a Kurt Gowdy Jr. problem. You know? It's like, it's not, like, it's a, the scouting department runs the draft. The scouting director
like
runs the draft.
The amount of people in the room when you saw the video when the Mets had their first round draft pick, there were like 40 people shaking hands
in
the room.
Yeah, so.
It's not just Sandy picking the guy.
Right, but at the end of the day, he's in charge just like for the uninitiated. Kurt Gowdy Jr. is in charge of a newsroom.
Right.
And it's, so it's like, yeah, bad things come back on the leaders, but the leaders aren't making these decisions. So it's complex.
Yeah, and I
but yes, no, yes, you know at the end of the day, it's down to the leader.
You said.
And the owners of any team.
And I agree with you. Leadership, ownership, Sandy Alderson, like everybody's accountable. But you said something last night that I thought was fascinating. And something, by the
Always.
Way, that we've talked about here on this show, too. The conversation you had with somebody in the Mets organization about looking back at Cincinnati and the lineup.
Oh, yeah,
incident.
Yeah.
It's not just us. Like, that's right. My feeling. So I said this maybe
Oh, no,
a couple,
it's not us. The Mets understand what's
I
going
said
on
this
here
a couple weeks ago, I think. I said just basically, I've been watching Mickey Callaway very closely ever since the lineup card incident. And I don't think I'm consciously doing it. It's just once you figure out that somebody may not know as much about managing as you
natural.
Think they do, it's natural. Do you think that the Mets have been watching him more closely and are more curious about the decisions he makes on a day-to-day basis than they would have been had mm-hmm. that not happened?
Well, this is not a nitpick, although it may sound like one. But I actually think to answer a question like this, really, to be fair, almost any question, there's no way to say the Mets, ... Because... Yeah. Like any organization, there are a lot of people in it. People with different opinions about how Callaway's doing. People with different opinions of whether he should have been hired in the first place, as would be the case with Aaron Boone, Terry Collins. So I can't say the Mets X, Mickey Callaway, whatever. I will say that I try to talk to as many people in any organization that I would cover as a matter of doing my job. And very, very high up people in the Mets are like, no problem with Nicky, not on the hot seat. He's learning. Other people are like, I don't know about that, how the job he's doing or the moves he's making. I think his bosses, his direct bosses are Sandy Alderson, Fred Wilpon, Jeff Wilpon, and I have received no indication that they're unhappy with him. But of course, in any large organization, you're going to have people who, first of all, they're watching the games. They see the moves. They see some of this. They obviously saw the lineup card thing. And what you're referring to, Doug, is someone who is not a hiring the manager type person in the organization, who just said to me, you know, I said to him, you know, I know this is oversimplified, but I feel like we have there's been a different perception of Mickey Callaway before and after the lineup card incident. And the person said, you know, funny you say that. I think you might be onto something. That's what we felt too. And in terms of like, he may have made some weird moves before that. They weren't as scrutinized. There was factors that had nothing to do with Callaway. The team was performing better. So it's simple. It's reductive to say that it boils down to the lineup card day, but that's a fair general demarcation.
Yeah, and the little things. Mickey Callaway basically saying Michael Conforto has to hit the cutoff, man. We're not doing the little things well. We're not playing good baseball. We need to play better baseball. That was the one time we've seen him get kind of fired up. We haven't seen it. He hasn't done that Terry Collins rant. I'm not talking about the one that went viral. Like the one that he said, you know, there's plenty of guys in Vegas who would love to be here.
Right.
You know, like, I'll make some changes. I keep thinking about 2015. Kelly Johnson mm-hmm. won Uribe.
By the way, Terry Collins not in studio. That's just an excellent impression.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry. Just listening
appreciate
to the audio.
That, Terry. Yeah, that's all we need. Thanks, man. So I'm thinking about what Mickey Callaway kind of, the thing he stood up for, the little things, and the fact that we played the video mm-hmm. from Atlanta yesterday being Wednesday, when Michael Conforto didn't back up and nobody's where they're supposed
Jay
to
Bruce
be.
Jay Bruce didn't hustle after a ground ball to right
yes,
field.
And didn't get benched after that, which is another part of Harp's column. What I look at what the manager says and what ends up happening.
Yeah.
Like, why is there not a direct correlation between Mickey Callaway saying something and it happening? Like, that's problematic.
Yeah.
Managers aren't magicians.
I think he said something unrealistic to begin with, which is, but managers have to be careful to ever talk about fundamentals because the big leagues have nothing. A manager has no control over his team's fundamentals and whether they hit the cutoff man or whether they do that. That is something that has to be learned, signed, sealed, and delivered by the time you're 16 years old. The minor leagues is barely for teaching. The major leagues is definitely, I'm serious, the major leagues is definitely not for teaching. So if you're talking about the fundamentals of the game, that ship has sailed by the time you've met your big league manager. So to talk about that is a mistake.
Barely for teaching?
Truly. Professionals, yeah, the minor leagues, like, of course you have field coordinators, you have, it's about development, more so than it's about winning and losing games, but you're not getting drafted or signed into an organization if you don't have the basics pretty much well nailed down.
Hmm. At least the fresh talent. And then I would think well, you want it a little bit.
The raw talent, say, coming out of Latin America, you're scouting guys that are 14, 15 years old, signing them when they're 16. There's a little bit more teaching there because you got a Wilmer Flores who's with an organization for, 7 years or something before they come up. They're a child when they sign. Fine. But if you're talking about an American player drafted out of high school or college in the Rule 4 draft, you are not... He is not reporting to your organization with much to learn about fundamentals. And certainly, so my point here is that Mickey Callaway shouldn't be talking. Every manager makes this mistake. Terry Collins, who I love, did it a million times. We got to start playing the game the right way. It's like, dude, that has nothing to do with you as a manager. So you better not set goals publicly that can't be fulfilled.
It's going to end up coming back on you.
Right.
I'm going to read a couple stats quickly. The first one has nothing to do with the next thing we're going to talk about. I just find it fascinating. Mets are playing the Diamondbacks.
The Mets, right. Is that fascinating?
No. The Mets have scored 52 runs in their last 18 games.
Are you writing down shows in your notes app that you want
to
watch?
DVR.
Okay.
Just don't pay attention to that. So the Mets have scored 52 runs in their last 18 games. The Diamondbacks, going into yesterday, had scored 51 runs in their last five.
That's better.
Better. Okay, but kind of segue here to Jacob DeGrom. Jeff gave us some stats here.
I spilled coffee in my rundown.
Oh, that's a problem. DeGrom has 7 starts this season where his team lost despite him allowing 1 or 0 runs. Per Elias, that's tied for the most such starts in a season since 1893?
That's a long time ago.
DeGrom has a .87 ERA over his last 10 starts, 62 and a third innings pitched, during which the Mets have gone 2-8. DeGrom's the first pitcher since Randy Johnson in 1999 to make 5 straight starts of 7 or more innings pitched while allowing 2 runs or fewer, only to see his team lose each game. Is that good?
No.
No.
Jacob DeGrom is amazing.
He's
amazing.
Oh, my God.
I love watching Jacob DeGrom. When I went to cover the Subway Series game at Citi Field last Friday night, I do this when I remember to or when I have the time. I like to leave the press box. And so I'm watching a couple innings of DeGrom out in the crowd. And like, I was standing behind home plate in front of the press box. And I swear, he has an intensity that you can feel in a stadium that has 40,000 people in it. He is such an old school the way that he competes, the way that he wants to get guys out. I'm up on the Loge level or whatever you call it where the press box is, and I can feel it. The guy's amazing, and it's just a shame that the team can't step up when he's pitching.
It's crazy. 7 starts this season where his team lost despite him allowing 1 or 0 earned runs. That's tied for the most such starts since before World War I.
King Felix won a Cy Young Award with 13 wins, and I wonder if there's going to be a conversation about DeGrom on that.
He is like... he's ending the win stat.
Single-handedly.
And I deserve...
Scherzer's going to win like 50, so he'll probably win the Cy Young.
He's changing the way you think about it. If you look at the Mets' all-time leaders in pitching, and you go to the stats that we seem to care about nowadays, whip and strikeouts per nine and earned run, like Jacob DeGrom's top 5 easily in Mets history. But if you go to wins, he's nowhere close.
So trade him. Who needs him? Oh, but I digress.
Not my point.
No, he's amazing. You know,
he's amazing.
It's a pleasure to watch. He's must-see baseball TV for me as someone in the business, as someone who gets enough baseball as part of my workday to fill the bill. I love watching Jacob DeGrom pitch.
Okay, so we've already kind of talked about whether this team's at a tipping point. We've already kind of talked about the fact that Jacob DeGrom's amazing. What fans want now, when we talked about yesterday, the time for words is over because everything that anybody says, whether it's Mickey Callaway or the players, until they win, until they hit, none of it matters. So let's talk about how we fix this. And let's go to our first Shay Hay. I believe it's about wheeling and dealing.
Hello, Doug and Andy. It's Jim and Beth Page. As the Mets plumb the depths of just complete offensive ineptitude, do they try to get themselves out of this jackpot by perhaps looking at a Wheeler and a Matz and maybe even a Nimmo and trading them for an offensively minded, high on base percentage, high batting average infielder or outfielder from some other team? Based on Sandy's comments on the conference call the other day, it sounds like he might have an appetite to do this. I don't think they can just keep trotting out the same lineup out there every day without trying to do something to salvage the season. I think they should do it. I was wondering what you guys think.
Well, you're right.
First of all, I love that he said the jackpot. That was in reference to the Terry Collins viral video.
I'm going to say ass in the jackpot. There's no FCC on this thing.
Yeah.
By the way, the mystery has been solved. This is a big deal. I did more report, and thank you to Gary Cohen for acknowledging on the game broadcast my reporting on ass in the jackpot during the game. He was talking about how I was trying to get to the bottom of it. Let me find this. Somebody tweeted me, and they got it. Because the question was, we know from context clues that it means that you're in trouble.
Yeah, it basically means your butt is on the line.
But
I don't know why you're allowed to say ASS and I'm not.
Because it's easier to say sorry than to ask permission. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But here we go. This is it. Because the question is, but the jackpot is good.
Yeah, exactly.
The jackpot is a good thing.
The jackpot is always a good
thing. So Carla at K Sofen, S-O-F-E-N, tweeted at me this morning. It was said by, this is a breakthrough. It was said by Sipowicz, the great character in NYPD Blue, the TV series in the 90s. He used it as a warning about internal affairs, wanting to get cops in trouble, whether they did something wrong or not. It's probably a New York thing. When internal affairs catches a bad cop, internal affairs hits at the jackpot. So the jackpot is a good thing still in this formulation, and it's internal affairs that's hit the jackpot when they put your ass in the jackpot.
Jim, to get to your question about what you trade for, what you do here, I keep thinking about the two teams we cover every day. I want the Mets to go get Brandon Drury somehow, like some sort of good position player or outfielder. I mean, I know what he's saying. If you don't want to give up on the season, Andy, you need to start scoring runs.
That's an interesting question because all the questions about trades have been about rebuilding, and you're trying to compete. And I think what Jim was saying was that trading guys like Matz to be better this season, to compete in 2018?
Yeah, to turn this thing around somehow.
That's interesting. I appreciate the live in the now outlook from that question, which is better than the blow it up for 5 years outlook, in my opinion. But I think the Mets are in a weird position when there's not a lot they can do. The way the roster's constructed, I think it's like perform or don't. The answer so far has been don't. Haven't. But if they're going to win, it's going to be because those pitchers are good.
Yeah, or because their roster as currently constituted turns it around.
And literally, who, if you trade Steven Matz for Brandon Drury, who's pitching? I mean, literally, who do you have in your organization that's pitching those?
The problem is that Noah Syndergaard's hurt. I'd feel okay about that if Noah Syndergaard wasn't hurt.
Okay.
And there's mystery surrounding when he's actually going to come back. I mean, Seth Lugo looks so good against the Yankees, you could put him into the rotation. Obviously, your bullpen is a glaring weakness, even with him.
Right.
But I'd feel okay if Syndergaard was healthy. I'd say, all right, you have enough of a rotation. The argument is the rotation's been great and they haven't won. So who needs starting pitching if you're not scoring any runs? Just ask Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, no, for sure. I like the idea of, like, look, we're not necessarily seeing anything to indicate that they're going to start winning a lot of games. But let's say they do before July. Then I like the idea of trying to say, what could we do to this roster to make a wild card game? You know what, though? I want to stop right now on this to make sure that we acknowledge that I'm like, da-da-da, wild card game, da-da-da. It's like, I get that this is way off tone from where most Met fans are right now. There's so much angst, and I think that some of it is over the top, but I think that a lot of it is fair and rational. And there's a lot that's being written on the internet about the Mets right now by people who follow the team and are intelligent that's like, this is a dumpster fire, we're upset. You might remember this. Do you remember Baghdad Bob?
No.
I'm not trying to be Baghdad Bob. He was the Saddam Hussein spokesman. Baghdad was burning behind him, and he was like, everything is fine. And it's like, it becomes a funny trope. Like, I'm not trying to Baghdad Bob here.
You're not Kevin Bacon and Animal House.
Right.
All is well.
Right, right. I get it. We get it. That it's really bad and that the organization is not looking so good right now. And by saying that they could contend this year sounds like a defense of the organization.
Well, some people...
And it's not. I understand where everyone's coming from.
Right? I'll give Jim credit and I'll give Sal credit. And I don't know if they're right, but they want to add. They want to make this
Jim
team
Duquette
better.
Says that?
No, Jim from Bethpage.
Oh.
and right. I want to read one tweet. I mean, it sounds like a simplistic name of a Twitter account, but I'm not going to lie. Their content is funny. At Angry Met Fan. There's an underscore between Angry and Met Fan. Pace of play idea. Forgo the formality of letting the Mets offense bat. Let the pitchers go against the opposition the entire time. Quickens pace. Gives fans the best part of what the Mets have. If the opposition doesn't score through nine, the Mets win. So if the Mets pitching shuts down the opponent, they win, and they just pitch the whole game. Maybe you take
that
a little.
That works.
Instead of the Mets hitting, you just take a little, like, 10-minute break or so.
That's basically what's happening.
Let the pitchers get a couple minutes off. And then Sean Campbell, who's a big fan of the show, if someone had told me in April that there would be discussions a month before the All-Star game of my Mets being free agent sellers, I would have told them, yeah, I believe that. All right, so I know you want to talk about how you've been being treated badly on the
internet. No. I don't want to vent. No. In fact, I want to engage this idea in an honest, intellectually honest way. May I?
Go ahead.
I just found it interesting. I want to step away from any kind like Twitter back and forth mentality and just take a look at it. To retrace my week regarding Jose Reyes. On Sunday, I reported that the Mets were looking. Actually, what I was really doing was following up on a report from Mike Puma of the New York Post, who wrote the previous week that the Mets had discussed releasing Reyes, but we're looking at ways to do it, however he worded it, respectfully, understanding his history of the organization. So I simply asked a follow-up of a source. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Does that mean tip is capped? Does that mean take a final at-bat? And I was told, not necessarily, but maybe, like, if you can get him to agree to, like, a retirement press conference or something. So I wrote a story based on that, which created more, buzz than I expected it to. Like, both Mickey Callaway and Sandy Alderson were asked directly, like, Mickey, Sandy, there was a report that, you know. It was, like, a bigger deal than most things I write are. And I thought that was interesting because all we're really talking about the 25th man on a roster.
Right.
So that was interesting. And then... Furthermore, and this is when it really got interesting, I made a point on Twitter saying, like, this is what I'm reporting, but to be clear, I actually think that you could make an argument that Jose Reyes is better on this roster than Luis Guillorme for a variety of reasons. And I swear to God, I've been doing this a long time. I've been on Twitter since 2009. I've never been crushed harder for something, ever. And I just tweeted, that I'm looking forward to digging into the emotional reaction over Reyes in our podcast. And there's a bunch of retweets to someone who answered, what's there to dig? He's a losing player that beats his wife. No one wants a send-off or a party for him. So, like, even me saying I want to have, like, a dig into this, people are like, don't dig into it, jerk, you know? And I really think it's interesting that the 25th man, Guillorme versus Reyes, which is not a hole I want to go down. There's like a baseball discussion to have there. That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about why are people so emotionally fired
can
up
I take
about
a stab
this?
At
Please
it?
Please do. Let's. Yeah.
I think part of it is your report, which said the Mets are trying to find a graceful way to end this. And Mets fans are saying, you're falsely accusing us of feeling a certain way about this guy. We could care less.
To the Mets. There's,
we could.
They're yeah. saying the Mets are...
We couldn't care less
right.
about Jose Reyes. We just want him gone because he's not helping this baseball team that is in free fall. Why are the Mets trying to make this some romantic thing at the end yeah. of his career when, like that person just brought up on Twitter, he's got the mugshot.
Yeah.
And when he's been a fairly bad player for your team since the start of last season, a really bad player for your team... this season. I just think it angers Mets fans when somebody's telling them how to feel, when if they woke up this morning and saw that Jose Reyes was DFA'd on Twitter, they would have been like, oh.
And that's okay. What the Mets want to avoid doing, I was told, is like your Adrian Gonzalez, here's a tweet about
why?
How,
I don't understand why yeah, the Mets. Like, I understand that Jose Reyes was a great player for this team once, mm-hmm. but they rid themselves of him.
Yeah.
They brought him back on the cheap because it filled a void on their team. But that doesn't mean that after everything, after how bad he's played and how badly he behaved, that he deserves an elegant send-off.
And I think you're right that fans spotted that. I want to talk about the domestic violence issue, too, in that way, because this is a whole other element to this. And I don't... Okay, first of all, I think that, obviously, I heard from these people when they brought Reyes back. There are people in the fan base who that's a deal breaker for them as far as ever wanting to root for Jose Reyes again. The police report is ugly. The incident, which he has not denied, is ugly. And there are people that were like, that's it for Jose Reyes for me. And there are people who were just, and I think that's obviously totally fair to close the book on liking Jose Reyes from that. So I'm not saying that Mets fans are okay with what Jose Reyes did. But what I will say is that the day he came back, Jose chant greeted him.
Right.
So, and signs about his domestic violence past, to my recollection, did not. So I think with sports fans, rage, disapproval over domestic violence is sadly contingent for many on player performance, which is an issue with the NFL.
In every sport.
So, right. So I'm not willing to say that the domestic violence, if you have been saying this since the moment they brought him back, fine. But if this bothers you now, I don't want to hear it. When it didn't before.
Okay, and a very good point, and I hear you. And I just want to quickly bring it back to the on-field thing, which is part of it, because it's connected to it. Like you just said, if Jose Reyes was hitting 330, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we argue so much about, as you said, the 25th man, is kind of surprising, because if you're starting here, and you want to have this argument of whether Reyes is better than Guillorme, it's like we're here and we're here. Mm-hmm. Like, Guillorme has very little
two
offensive
guys
upside.
Who are not a guy.
Yes.
Yes.
And that, I guess, is why I'm also a little bit confused why everyone's so fired up about this. What I do understand, I understand the criticism. When Sandy Alderson says on a conference call, we have no better option, that is him indicting himself.
Yeah.
To be totally honest with you.
Correct.
Because it's his doing and the front office is doing that mm-hmm. they don't have anyone better.
Right.
They don't have Brandon Drury in AAA. They don't have a utility guy who's capable of coming up and hitting 260 and feeling
right.
his position well. So that part I understand. If you want to make it about the big picture, I get your anger. If you want to make it about the player and Andy's point that Jose Reyes is slightly better than Guillorme, I don't understand why you could be upset about that. Because that, while it may be a very minute detail,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's false. And I don't understand why so much anger would be directed towards you if you're not talking about big picture.
Yeah, well, here's what I think. I think that, some of the anger was directed towards me, but it always isn't. That's fine. I want to be clear. I'm not, like, complaining. People, go ahead, get mad at me on Twitter. Like, right. that's part of what that account is there for. I just find it psychologically interesting
yes.
because it's such a hot-button issue. If you want to yell at me on Twitter, go for it. If you start getting personal, I mute you. Like, whatever. Fine. You know? I don't care. This isn't about me. This is about, and I think you were starting to, you really getting at that than what you were just saying, Doug, and this is my ultimate takeaway from talking to people and from thinking about this. I think that to a lot of Met fans, this isn't about the 25th man. It is literally, but really, it's about the Mets and how this team that they love is letting them down. And it's just another example of a way that something is being handled and it's that they don't think is reflective of their feelings, right? We don't love Jose Reyes. Why are you insisting on giving him
right,
a goodbye?
Why are you telling us how we feel about a player?
Right. So I think that's what's going on. I think it happens to be coming at a time where things seem to be falling apart on the field with the organization at the major league level. So it's just a perfect storm of angst. And again, like, react to this segment. Tell me if I'm getting it wrong. But I just think, because what I've heard, what came back at me, well, I'll tell you, I don't mind engaging this. Like, people out there might think I'm scared to take this on and uncomfortable taking this on. But one thing that came back at me when I disagreed with Reyes Guillorme thing was, like, people were like, oh, you're at SMY, you're a Wilpon shill. How could you say that. I'm like, what? Like, first of all, on that, I get it. You know, SNY, everything, like, we're here. This is like, I'm, for those listening, I'm pointing to the SNY logo. We're in a building that is, like, I get it. We're this isn't a totally independent situation, but we're allowed to say our opinions. And in that case, my opinion was that the Mets are doing something wrong, right? I'm saying the manager that the Mets hired is mishandling Reyes. And I'm saying that the decision they're making to release him soon may be unwise. And that's turned into, oh, you guys are just shilling for the Mets and for the owners. And I think that what's going on there is obviously illogical. It doesn't make sense in that way that I just broke it down. But what I do think is happening is that people are mad at everything Mets, that the anger is just coming out.
Yeah, no matter,
boom, you know,
no matter what you
we're
say,
mad.
Yeah, they're going to find issue with it.
And I get that emotional reaction. I understand that if it's Mets, if it's Reyes, who's been a face of Met collapses in the past, and one, you know, the even when he won a batting title, he bunted and was pinch run for it by his. So there are reasons to have an issue with Jose Reyes through the years. We work here. This message is coming from a sort of a Mets affiliated property. However, editorial independent, we're fortunately able to be. People are looking at that and just getting mad. And I just want to say that when you really drill down to the bottom of that, I understand your anger. I don't agree with the logic that's put it that in some ways, as I just laid out, but I get the anger. And I don't want to be Baghdad Bob here and sit here and say, like, why aren't you happy? I get why you're not happy. I guess that's, I got going a little bit, but I think that's the bottom line where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Sometimes the responses may seem illogical and may seem strange that you're blaming us, and I get this too,
which is fine.
Too positive, or like we got tweets last night, being anti-Callaway is wrong. You know, it's the roster that ownership put in place that's the problem. No matter which way you spin it, people are going to be like, there's more to be angry about.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. Your team is in free fall. They're scoring no runs. So if you want to get angry, get angry.
That's what I'm saying. And if you want to get angry at Jose Reyes, if you want to get angry at me about Jose Reyes, I'm trying to get to the point of like actual understanding and empathy where I'm saying, like, I could just be Mr. Condescending Reporter and be like, we're talking about the 25th man here. Come on. But I get it. It's about, and on some level, it's about more than that.
All right, let's end things on a happy note. What'd you do on Saturday?
That wasn't night? A happy note?
No. What'd you do on Saturday night?
Oh, this is not a happy note.
Oh, man. I think I know this is going to include lots of, like,
oh, my God. So, it was a beautiful day on Saturday. I bought some salmon at the local fish market. I did a delicious marinade. As I was getting ready to put it on the grill, my son, who loves to go over and play with his neighbors, he's like, I can't play with my neighbors, I have to come home. We're like, what? That's never happened before. This is probably about 6 p.m. From 6 p.m. to, say, 10, 11 p.m., he probably vomited once every 20 minutes. It was insane. It was a war zone. There was so much puke on my couch cushions, on my carpet.
Why didn't you give him?
That was my Saturday night.
But why didn't you? Do you have any garbage cans in the house?
He puked in the garbage can. He puked in the pasta pot. He puked in everything. He is a gamer, too, that kid. Oh, my God. He is not leaving a start because his finger hurts.
He's his Dribble Cabrera.
He's better. He is just like, when I vomit, Doug, I cry, I scream, I make my wife comfort me. My kid is like, bleh. Can we watch TV?
That's so funny. As you said, when I vomit, I cry, I scream. Jeff got my ear and said, we got to go. My Saturday night, I don't think that's a coincidence. My Saturday night.
You didn't let me hear that either, Jeff.
Surprise birthday party for my friend Tommy. And then had Blue Ribbon fried chicken.
Did you say, Tommy, you got to give us a shot.
You got to give us a shot. Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, SNY.TV, Shay Anything. Leave a voice note and we'll get to you. Leave us a voicemail, too. And search for Shay Anything in your podcast app. Subscribe, rate, and review. We love hearing from you. Tweet us always. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.